Good morning, Neil, and welcome to the For Those Who Inquired podcast. It's Friday morning in Murray, Kentucky. I'm your host, Edward Marlowe.
And yes, Dave, we'll do a podcast whenever the hell we feel like it.
Yeah, I was trying to think. I was going to say this is the For Those Whoever Feel Like It podcast. Whenever we damn well feel like it, please, podcast. Yeah, it's just been a busy week because in case you've, unless you live under a rock, Neil, most of us know.
Can you smell? No, not that rock.
You know, can you smell what the rock is cooking?
I can't.
You know, I unfortunately did see a really, really funny joke. It was kind of dark. It was on Twitter, speaking of The Rock.
Okay.
And, you know, he and his family just recently, you know, dealt with COVID, including himself.
Yeah.
And somebody tweeted out, obviously the family knew they had COVID because they couldn't smell what The Rock was cooking. It was funny. Very funny. Very funny. Very terrible joke. But it was, you know, it was certainly painted a picture of where we are in 2020 when dark humor is what gets us through the day.
Got to get through it somehow.
Yeah. So, you know, clearly I would have loved to have done a podcast on Monday or Tuesday, but guess what happened on Monday and Tuesday?
Sports. They were like playing games and stuff.
Yeah, sports in Kentucky.
Where they kept score.
Yeah.
And there was winners and losers declared.
And it mattered.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's leading to a potential postseason for a lot of these teams. So the state of Kentucky began its fall schedule. We know that we've had golf for about the last 3.5 to 4 weeks, but on Monday was the official start of high school soccer, high school volleyball, high school cross country, and essentially, it essentially, you know, sets forth what the football schedule is even going to look like.
Yeah.
So, you know, practices could begin with pads and helmets and tigers and bears and lions and oh my. And it was just, it's going to be chaos for the next 8 weeks, 8 to 9 weeks, but it's going to be a beautiful chaos.
Yeah, it is.
Hopefully, as long as we continue to keep ourselves socially distanced. You yourself, you know, obviously have been busy this week. With the goings-on of Murray and Kennewick County. And here we are on September 11th, the start of the high school football season, but also a day of mourning and a day of remembrance, so to speak, of September 11th, 2001, a day that will never be forgotten in the United States and really across the world. I wanted to ask you, Neil, and this is where I wanted to start. Where were you on September 11th, 2001?
In this room. As in this room.
We're at
the studios of WNBS.
Right.
Roggy is in the next room, but yeah, I was in this room. Had just finished a shift, I think, and got a report that a plane had crashed, maybe into a building in New York. So you never thought terrorism. Something happened. Mechanical issue.
Planes run into buildings.
Something happened. It's terrible. It's awful, but it has happened before.
Sure,
but it is terrible. And so, you know, we got that news bulletin on. I think we were a CBS News affiliate at the time, and they broke in with bulletin stuff. And then another one hit. And then you're thinking, whoa, that probably isn't an accident. What you wanted to know is, were they back-to-back? Maybe they collided with one another, and the news folks have the facts wrong. Well, that wasn't it. And then here they came, Pentagon, Pennsylvania. And it, you know, got serious real quick. And the thing I remember most of all, you know, you're kind of scared a little bit, but I had never really thought about it until around 10 a.m., somewhere around that time. The FAA said all planes have been grounded. You have until this time to get your plane on the ground. Any plane not on the ground by X time will be shot down. At that point, you knew. Holy smoke. And you didn't know how much more, you know, they had, what, five of them or four, whichever, how many more they're going to be.
Yeah.
It turned out once they had ceased, that was it. But what a day. It was just unbelievable.
Some of the stories that have come out since then on that day of planes that actually had to fly, your surgeons,
and
things like those are amazing stories where you had to basically announce, like, I have a heart.
Organ donors
and things like that across the country. You know, people that were getting transplants and were on the list for that day. It's unbelievable.
And heard today, I didn't realize this until today. Was it 19 years later?
Yeah.
That order wasn't cleared by the president. That was just the FAA going, doink. So probably a good idea.
Yeah.
But it wasn't didn't come from the top. It came from someone down low that thought, I think we need to do this, and they did it.
They had to make a tough decision.
Yeah, made a tough decision that in allowing those instances, like you said, hey, I got to try to save this guy's life. Fine, you know, but that's fine. Long as we know, it's good.
I was a junior in high school in Cadiz, Kentucky. Lucky me. And we were in French class, and our hall monitor, one of our class, you know, office workers, you know, she had her first period in the office where she did clerical work, mm-hmm. and things like that. We were singing in French. We were joking around, making jokes in French, like, ha, 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 you suck, you know, in French and things like that. You know, because, you know,
right. it's high school kids.
What mature high schoolers
it's
do.
It's exactly, they're still doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
Unfortunately, it just the way it is.
It hasn't changed. We were making bad jokes in French and things like that. You know, looking up cuss words in French, like anything stupid because, you know, I'm a junior in high school. And we're goofing around. And it, like I said, it's 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning. She knocks on our door. And she's like, there's a building on fire in New York City. That's what she said.
Okay. Well,
we started laughing.
It happens.
I mean, because none of us, what are you talking? Like, why would a high school kid come into our room and tell us that? Well, clearly she's been watching the TV in the office for the last 20 minutes. So she's
sure.
She's had a schedule.
Yeah.
So we're like, whatever. We turn the TV on, and sure enough, the first of the two buildings of the World Trade Center are on fire. And we're like, oh, she wasn't joking.
Yeah.
And then on live TV, we saw the second plane hit.
Yeah. We didn't have a TV in here, so I didn't see any of that live.
I saw as NBC was breaking it down, essentially play by play, because it was live footage, the other plane flew in, and we saw it on live TV. Millions of Americans saw it on live on TV. But, you know, this is a sports podcast, and what I wanted to get at is it was, what, 3 to 4 weeks before we got back to sports coverage in that time.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, the first game, President George W. Bush, threw out the first pitch for, I believe it was Mets Braves, and in New York City.
Yeah.
And that was the first live event back.
Strike.
Through a hell of a strike. And again, we don't want to get into politics too terribly much, but
wasn't any politics on that part of it?
Not at all.
I remember down below that he was getting ready to go out there. Was it Derek Jeter who said, no, you got to nail this, man.
Yeah, you got to nail it.
There is no hope. It's got to be over the plate.
Yeah.
So practice down there and brought it out. And at that point, it wouldn't have mattered who the president was. We need a strike right here.
Yeah.
Don't care who it is. Boom. And he did it.
And speaking of strike, Piazza's home run to deep center to win the game.
Yeah.
And that was over Andrew Jones in center field, by the way. What an amazing center fielder. Yeah. We don't even have to go there. Youngest, still the youngest player ever to hit a home run in the World Series. Is that right? He was 19. Anyway, September 11th is going to be a day that we never forget. It'll be talked a lot about today.
Didn't play football that week.
Did not.
I think the Razors were supposed to play Morehead State. We didn't play. Once we got back to playing, teams scrambled to find games. We ended up playing at Minnesota in the Metrodome. So I got to do my first indoor football game. But I do remember to get to the stadium, also to go to Mall of America. We had to park in an empty parking lot. They brought bomb dogs out. They took mirrors under the bus before we could go inside. And, I mean, everybody got checked, and no one questioned Jack about it.
No, as a matter of fact, going into my senior year, we had mesh backpacks, basically, and, you know, and the whole deal, you know, just because – you know, being located close to, well, at the time, USAC in Paducah and Fort Campbell, there was the ultimate threat. This is obviously when the nuclear radar starts to, you know, heat up a little bit.
Oh, sure.
You know, my mom pulled me out of school the day that it even happened, because if Fort Campbell goes on alert and there's any attack there, or if somebody decides, well, we're just going to go hit a uranium plant on the river, it's pretty hot spot for Western Kentucky.
You're right.
So you don't really think about that. Of all the locations in the United States, Kentucky had the chance to be hit 2 to 3 more times if there was a major assault, because you had Fort Knox, which is where our gold reserve is, clearly, as you know, and the two locations in Western Kentucky. So, again, we have digressed, but September 11th is a day that, you know, that will never be forgotten and will long be remembered in the sports realm as far as its importance to return to some sort of normalcy, which is something that we've tried to do here now in the middle of a national and global pandemic. Yeah. So there's several illusions there. It's kind of strange. The loss of life, even now with COVID-19, it kind of, you know, people are trying to return to some sort of normalcy now. So it's really kind of, you know, an interesting, I don't want to really compare the two, but there are some comparisons to be made if you're in that business.
Yeah.
Speaking of crazy, you know what's crazy, Neil? A 353-team NCAA tournament.
I saw that being floated. I still can't believe that'll happen.
The ACC, for those who inquired, the ACC has suggested, rumored, suggested, floated. Apparently, Coach K, Mike Krzyzewski at Duke, has certainly bolstered this idea that it be just an absolute free-for-all battle royale.
Why?
To end the 2020-21 college basketball season with a winner-take-all expanded NCAA tournament where you include all 353 Division I teams.
Great. I'm for it as long as we just blind draw. No seeding.
No, just no. Ultra chaos.
Let's just, if you want chaos, let's have chaos. Blind draw. Oh my God, one drew two. Too bad. That sucks.
First round. Let's go.
There you
just
go.
Like a blood sport.
There you go.
Let me ask you this, Neil. If it were to even get further than the ACC discussing it and making this suggestion, here's what would have happened last year if you go by KenPom, which, by the way, I like KenPom a lot. I find the metrics to be pretty standard. By the time you get to your 10 and 15th game, KenPom, and so there's a lot of great metrics out there, but KenPom, I think, does a pretty good job adjusting for, like, offense, defense, strength of schedule, luck, even. There's a luck factor that KenPom has come up with. I know that you and your good man Kenny Roth use KenPom frequently.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Yeah, KenPom, I think, is very, very – does a really good job in discovering – where deficiencies and efficiencies are with specific teams. But in going into that, if you were to use seeding, use the KenPom rating as a seeding, because, you know, we didn't get a tournament anyway last year. Last year, then, Kansas would have played 353rd Chicago State, if you do the back and forth. Number two, Gonzaga, would have played 352 Kennesaw State, which we saw in the CFSB Center. And number three, Baylor, would have played 351st Mississippi Valley State. I will say this, and we could break down every, you know, the Racers were kind of in that middle 100, 90, 100 range. Two or three OVC teams were for, you know, so they'd play, you know, in the high hundreds. You know, probably play somebody in the lower horizon or Sun Belt or something like that, but maybe a high SWAC team. But for that first round game, but what I'm getting at is, what I like about the idea, and I'm not saying I like the idea, I'm just saying what I do like about the idea, is the concept that college basketball teams would play other college basketball teams that they'd never play before, or maybe even after. You really would have this microcosm of matchups that were so bizarre and historically never occurred just in the situation of, well, let's just do this. I mean, Kansas... No disrespect to Chicago State here, if there are any Chicago State fans listening right now. Kansas has no business playing Chicago State.
Then why have this tournament? It's insane.
No, I'm not. I agree. It is insanity.
It's not good basketball.
It is insanity, but I will say what I like about it is it is a one-time chance for super promotion of your team and your program.
It's meaningless. I totally disagree. You water down the tournament to make it not mean a damn thing. It's the year of everybody gets a ribbon, everybody gets a trophy.
Okay.
Here you go.
All right.
Feel good about yourself.
All right.
Even though you went 2-29, it's okay. We love you.
You're in the tournament.
Get the hell out.
Yeah.
Go play somewhere else.
No, that's a fair point, because I've always been a proponent of not letting teams into the NCAA tournament that finished 500, sub 500 in their conference.
But it will at least let
that's fair
teams deserving in, because since everybody's in.
Yeah.
So if you won 20, you're in. But if you lost 25, you're in too.
In the back of my mind, Because I agree with you. I'm not into participation ribbons, but the idea that we missed the 2020 NCAA tournament, I think this is an absolution. At least in my mind, it's a possibility. It's one way of saying, look, we don't know what was going to happen with the 2020 season from a tournament perspective. We're not sure who would have gotten bids. I mean, we know who wouldn't have, but yeah. That bubble was never determined.
I think we need to find who has this idea and take them to the Yellowstone train station.
Well, it's the ACC.
I don't know if you watch Yellowstone, but anyone who watches it knows what that means.
Anyway. Yellowstone with Kevin Costner?
Yeah.
On Paramount?
Yeah.
I've heard it's terrific, actually.
God, it's good. Maybe the best season ender as far as cliffhanger I've ever seen. And I mean, I've seen lots of them, lots of shows that I love. Never seen anything like this.
Okay. I've been tempted to watch it. I've heard it's terrific, actually.
Yeah,
Kevin Costner's just an American.
It's a Sopranos Western.
Okay.
It's not Old West, it's Modern West.
Modern oil, modern cattle. Okay. Well,
we're sparring on this one.
No, so, it's totally fine. And here's the thing. Like, I don't think it's going to happen. I really don't think the tournament will happen in this format at all. It's just 2020 seems to be the year where it's like, well, let's just throw everything on the wall and see if it sticks. You know, let's just peg it all up there, and whatever falls off the wall is not what we're going to do.
Gotcha.
But I just thought the idea was interesting in the concept that it would create really unique college basketball matchups. But, you know, Neil, maybe you've talked me off of it a little bit.
Don't like it at all.
Yeah.
I really don't. Hopefully they won't do this.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I don't think – well, and this let's dovetail into a little bit of a local angle with this. You know, there's still not even a lot of – there's still a lot of speculation as to when the college basketball season will even start.
Yeah.
Because NBA now is starting to push a little further into November. Well, now your draft is a little later. You've already had several guys in the college basketball arena opt out saying they're going to prepare for, you know, their any sort of NBA expectation they have.
Right.
You know, you have several guys that have opted out for COVID reasons, both at the college football and the college basketball level. Furthermore, if, you know, your fall championship series in the NCAA continues to get delayed or pushed or whatever, well, then all of a sudden college basketball, you know, takes a sidecar, and that's not what they want to do. So now all of a sudden, you were saying this before the show, it's looking like Thanksgiving.
Day before, I think.
Maybe the start of the season?
Next Wednesday or Thursday. I don't remember the day.
Yeah, I'm thinking we need to do a show next week after the announcement just to see what they come up with. Mm-hmm. Need to wait and see what happens there because I think from our perspective, we don't really know. In a normal season, and Neil, this will blow your mind because it just feels like it's been an eternity, but we're almost there. Murray State men's basketball in a regular season would be starting open practice in 3.5 weeks.
Yeah.
It'd be the first week of October, typically. Yep.
That's right.
You know, and maybe the second week would be the first time media could take a look, but that first week of real, hey, we're getting ready for the season, starts the first week of October. Today's September 11th. We're 3.5 weeks away. It's nuts that it's actually here because this year feels like it's gone for an eternity. But now as we start to have sports and really some things return to some sort of normalcy, we're getting a lot of speed. You know, I'm going to bed, waking up, got sports, going to bed, waking up, got sports. So it's going quick, and I know it's going quick for you.
Well, I like having, like this week, I was able to report sports that people cared about, and I go, Jacksonville State hired an assistant golf coach. Because that's what I was reporting on 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, anything that happened in the OVC, if you change the font on your logo, there you go. That's a story.
Jacksonville
and
State
right now,
changed
that's,
the font
that's,
on its logo.
That's not getting on now.
They went from a sans serif to a serif.
I'd urge, you know, Comic Sans always screams fun, but they wouldn't go with that.
That's a it's always good when you can have font jokes. We're just a font of knowledge, Neil.
Yes, we are.
Hardly.
There we are.
The with sports returning, Neil, where will you be tonight?
I actually am doing Callaway games. There was a little snafu in terms of the play-by-play. Blake Bernier had committed to doing it. I'd run into an issue at his other job. However, that has been worked out 3 weeks from now, I believe. he will take back over. But tonight it's going to be me on the play-by-play and my grandson, Jacob Smith, because Mitch Ryan, the color guy who will be back next week, he's unavailable. So I'll do three Callaway games. If you want to listen and figure out what Neil sounds like when he doesn't have the crutch of game notes from Dave Winder, from the OVC, from the other school, wonder how bad it really sounds. Here you go, because this is what it's going to sound like.
Neil's going to prove that despite his Hall of Fame credentials,
they're going to go like, this guy sucks.
He's going to be freaking,
this guy sucks.
You're going to be winging it tonight.
Yes. Because I don't know much about any of the players.
Well,
any of them.
2020 is just the let's wing it year anyway. Let's just be real.
I'll do the best I can do.
Yeah.
You get the best I can do.
I can tell you this. My high school football preview just dropped within the last 18 hours. Very vanilla.
I read yours for the Callaway Marshall.
Yeah, did as best as I humanly and possibly could with the short amount of time that we had to put together a product. And, you know, the interesting part about it is Callaway Marshall, you think about the history of that game, just talking about what you've got to do. Yeah. You know, that's been annually a contentious and tight game.
Mm-hmm.
Marshall has won 35 of 40 matchups.
Yeah, it's really been dominated
It's been dominated.
The bigger school, as you might expect, though.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to disagree with that at all. But the games have always been.
They have been pretty good, usually.
Relatively close games.
Last year was a good game.
Yeah, comes down to one or two plays for either team to kind of squeak away a win. I took Callaway in this one, and that's no disrespect to the Marshals at all. They've got a new head coach in Stephen Etheridge, brilliant offensive mind that's getting a lot of credit for, you know, how well they did at McCracken County, and the offense there. But it's going to be a unique situation tonight, Neil, with all the high school football games, because you kind of feel like everybody's in a little bit more of a playing field. Everybody had the same amount of practice time. Everybody had a very difficult summer. And everybody really had to push through some of these regulations. So practice just hasn't been the same, you know?
Right.
And in essence of trying to show you how tight the preview schedule was for me, you know, the Kentucky Department of Education, the KBE and the KDE made their recommendation 3 days before my deadline.
Wow.
For my content.
Okay.
So had they decided, well, we need to delay further, then I would have, you know, I would have had to put everything on the kibosh.
Yeah.
So once they said, oh, it's go time, I spent that weekend basically, and I'd already put a few minor things in place. Photography that I knew I was going to use was already locked up, you know, things like that. I had made some major details already in concrete, but, you know, the major thing, the actual products and the interviews, how fresh were they going to be if we were not going to have a season on time, it's on September 11th, which we didn't have it on time anyways, but the original startup plan for September 11th, you know, could have been pushed had recommendations changed either by, you know, Governor Andy Beshear or by, you know, the Department of Education. So here we are, Neil. You'll be at Callaway, Marshall County. I will be at Mayfield and McCracken.
Yeah.
Going to be fun.
It will be, you know. Normally, I wouldn't have any nervousness about it, to be honest about it, but with all the COVID restrictions and we're at a table, everybody's going to be outside, including the PA guy.
Yeah.
It's going to have a different feel to it. Thankfully, the weatherman's cooperating, and it doesn't look like it's going to be any rain.
It's going to look beautiful tonight, I think.
Week one will be good. Hopefully, I can get through a couple of weeks without any sort of rain issues.
I've got to do the same thing, Neil. I'll get to McCracken early tonight, and I'll figure out, you know, kind of where I can even work. I thought about bringing my own little table.
Yeah.
And just set my laptop up like in the corner of the end zone.
There you go.
Like I don't need to be near anybody. I just need to have internet, and I've got hotspots, and I need to get it going. So it's going to test resolve, I think, and it's going to test ingenuity, how to cover this season. But, you know, because we can't be in cramped in press boxes. But we'll make it happen.
Yeah.
And this week's been really special.
It has been.
So, Neil, I appreciate the time.
All right. We'll have more time next week. I have a dryer that's out. Let's be brutally honest. And the guy's supposed to meet me there in 15 or 20 minutes.
Listen, man. Hey, you know, 2020 is a time of necessity.
It is.
And you need your dryer.
Yeah.
And you and I have got to get to some sports.
Yeah, I know. I'm glad that we have it. Really glad for the kids. I'm really happy for them.
Yeah. No matter what happens for the rest of the season, you know, I mean, we're looking at least a good start, and hopefully knock on some
Yeah.
We can see that continue.
Exactly.
Neil, we'll see you next week.
All right. Thank you, Ed.